sing glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Amen. Can Brother Luke mind helping us take the prayer and the tithes and offerings? Let's turn to number 634 as we sing, I'm in this church.
I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church. This glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. Oh, I'm in this church. This glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church.
Kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. For time won't matter anymore. You love it. I'm longing for you. And someday across that river to where my faith is gonna end in sight. There's just a few more, a few more days to labor, and then I'm going to take my heavenly flight. But you lament, I'm longing for you, and someday on the outstanding, there my home, it will be eternal. You land, sweet you
silent. His love is the theme of my song, redeemed, redeemed, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child, and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child, and forever I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child, and forever I am.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. I alone all my heart desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Lord, you are more precious.
less than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Oh Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Amen. Sing one more time. Lord, you are more precious than silver, and Lord, you are more costly than gold. Oh Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, nothing I desire compares to you. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee.
Amen. Amen. Let's change the order of service now as your brother comes out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Come, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. To see
you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
Amen.
As we sing, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Glory. be you.
Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your Bible, turn to Hebrews 10 and Ephesians 5, where we was reading this morning. Try to get this thought in and then maybe change a little channels or something of it. But just pray that the Lord would bless. Remember, Wade will be ministering, Lord willing, Wednesday. And then remember this, that Sunday we will be taking communion. So everything will be order for all of that. We'll be having a good time of doing those things. Remember, all of these that are away today visiting and whatever they're doing, ministering and things, there's more missing today than they are here. So we just, you know, wonder where they're at. That's what they're doing. But that's, you know, that's the way God does things. He puts us all to the place we need to be. It doesn't matter if we don't want to get there. He'll herd us around some way, make it work out. Amen. All right, let's just pray and then go into the scriptures, Hebrews 10 and Ephesians 5. The Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace and love and all of the things that you've given unto us. Thank you for an opportunity to be able to read your word as we tried to express this morning and just read a natural story. Read of natural things that are taking place, but to see that we're part of it, and to see that we're part of you. And Lord, we ask you to just have your way with each one. Come on the scene now this afternoon and open our eyes to thy word, that we may walk in the light of your grace. Remember the ones that are not here, some sick, different things. Remember Brother Kern, our Lord. Our sister said he was sick. Remember him and just be there. Be with Brother Al, Lord. He so wanted to be here today because I talked to him yesterday, Lord, and he said he'd like to come. So then that's a desire that's in the heart, and we pray that you'd bless. Have your way with each and every one of us. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and lead us in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 10 and then Ephesians, okay? Hebrews 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, that's like I said, I like to read the word, but understand what it's saying. It sounds like, if you read that scripture, and this is what I was trying to get across to you this morning. It sounds like they're saying something. In other words, it can't happen. But watch. It doesn't make the comer thereunto perfect. It has to be offered over and over. But each time it's offered. Are you listening? Each time it's offered, it makes you perfect for the time. You know, that year or whatever it is, they have one offering, they have to take it up and do it. It works for the whole year. So if you read it, then see, just read the way you're going, because it said, with those sacrifices they offered year by year, continually make the coming down too perfect. It sounds like that they're just worth nothing. No, they're not worth it. They're worth all of the total thing because it covers you for that year. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Because that the worshiper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins, year after year. You gotta go in and offer them. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. But a body hast thou prepared me. All right? Sacrifice and offerings can't do it. But it can cover for a time. But it can't take it away. But I want it to be taken away, don't you? Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men also men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord doth church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, let's see that she reverence her husband. In other words, what is he saying? Christ in the church, body in Christ, explaining it. Paul's putting it down in plain language. As I said, you read the natural part, but he's talking about Christ in the church. There's a mystery in the Bible that you start reading in Genesis and you get the natural story. Was you following this morning? But yet, see, then once you get involved in it, you'll start getting the fact that there's a mystery being revealed. That's what we want to know about, isn't it? You can be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And Christ is that mystery. All right? So I hope it seemed to be that I couldn't get my point over this morning, but maybe I should have read my things, but I had 30-something quotes, and I gave you them, and, we put them on the Internet. A lot of times, I had 36, I think, this morning. We didn't quote, didn't take nothing, read it too much, read a couple little things. But it goes on the Internet. All right? People listening, they can look and see that. All right? They can pull that quote up and hear it. They can be doing that. So that's why we go ahead and put it on there, even though we don't read it here. It'll be doing it because, that way we can get the quotes on to them. Okay? All right? Now, let's just get started on a thought that we were on this morning, that we are the body of Christ. He has always had some form or what thoughts or whatever you'd want to say, a body. Amen. All right? Even back before time, even back before anything, he had a supernatural body. All right? The best they could do with it is call it maybe a theophany. But that is a body. And if you die, you realize your body goes this way, naturally, but your body of what you are in the body of Christ, you're a child, you're a Christ, you're, a Christian, that goes somewhere to dwell and wait until it's all finished. So then you got a body. We've got a body. That's my point. My whole point was that God has never been left without a body, but it goes in stages. See, he came forth into the world under one stage to bring it from a glorified, supernatural, whatever you want to call it, body, theophany, and then he came into flesh. All right. To a natural 16-element body. All right. Then one day that was offered as a sacrifice. And when it was, then he went beyond and took the body and all up and left it and came back himself to dwell in the church. Amen. So he never left himself without a body. Right, he's always had a body because that's the point. He wanted a body. So why would he just go so far and then stop? No. It's going to come forth. The body of Christ is going to come forth. And we are that body. And without him, the prophet said, you're not complete. I mean, he's not complete without you. Let's put it that way. So we're not on our own, but he's not complete. All right, then it has to go in stages to understand. See, you and I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have eternal life in our soul. We are in the stature of a perfect man somewhere in the dwelling of that. And those quotes this morning we had in there that would be the body of Christ, would be a body that he would provide, which would be the stature of a perfect man. That's the body that God wants to live in. It's your nature, your ways, your doing that he has given to you to add to what you have, and it made forth to where you would be a child of God for adoptions, things like that. So it all comes in stages, okay? But I think what we need to do is consider the fact that I believe we're in the end time. I believe we're in the finishing up of all things. I'm not a doomsday or something like that kind of a guy. I never have beat on you about this or that or the other or went through dates and times and seasons or anything trying to scare you, because it won't do no good. It won't scare nobody into doing nothing. You can't scare a child into being saved. So don't do that. Don't scare your children or try to make them think about God in the wrong way. Talk to them about the love of God. Sure, he wants you to live right. He wants you to be corrected. You can explain the thing. You know, as I've always said, I never whipped the children until I explained why. Well, you know what they wound up saying? Hey, Daddy, just give me the whipping. Let me get out of here. They didn't care much about the explaining. They didn't worry about the beating because they knew I wasn't going to kill them. You know, so they'd say, well, just give me the whip and let me get out of here. Well, that's all right. Now, but see, he's always had a bodily form, but yet it moved from one thing to another. One place, one position, existing, and what, to another, until it wound up into, on the day of Pentecost, into the bride of Jesus Christ. All right, now for 2,000 years, the prophet said, every age, every time, has had its own portion of the word, the things to be brought forth. And that mainly is what we want to think about, because what I was driving at this morning, maybe not enough of you to understand the way I talk, but see, that body is being built by the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. All right? See, your glorified body is being built, the prophet said, around your born-again experience. Well, all right, you want a glorified body? Just get born again and let it get started. Just go down the road that way. Go the way he says for us to go, and it'll all work out. We try to figure it out, and we'll get it messed up every time, you know. So we just do what the prophet said, and that's what I love about it, to where you can read the prophet's message, and it's so wonderful until there is a, even as I was trying to explain this morning, that he can explain a situation of natural. And you can sit there and let God deal in your mental faculties and things, and come out with a point of looking at God and seeing something that he's making known to you. All right? And then see, that brings us to that position. All right? Now get my statement. He's never been without a body. Okay, we solved that. So we got that he had back there before the world. You can call it theophany, you can call it glorified, you can call it. But he had a body. He wasn't just a wind floating around, just air and just puffing. And just, see? No. See, that's our denominational ideas. Okay? See, God is real. He was real back there. All right? So then he kept coming down until he could come to the body of Christ, you know, the Lord Jesus himself in human flesh upon this earth, God in human flesh, That body was the body of God. Not that it made him a second person or a third person or some kind of something. It didn't make him that. All it done was brought into manifestation those things that he was. Amen. So he always was. Let me put it, and I won't use the word human, but let me put it this way. He was a being, the prophet said. He said he's not like the wind. So God is a being. So if we could ever start comprehending about how real he is, that he's just not the fugitive of your imagination or some thought or some idea. You know, I've heard people try to explain the Godhead, and they'd say, you know, well, God is this or God is that. No. You start leaving out and putting no extra in, you're going to wind up in trouble. So just be normal like it is and let it go and just serve God. Okay, now watch. God then came into human flesh, and he's been in the human flesh for the 2,000 years. All right? So he is not complete without you. He said, no, he can do what he wants to. No, he's not complete without you. He's done it that way. He designed it that way. He made it that way to where that you and I would be involved in the form of salvation and, existing on earth and what to do. See? All right? Then when he stepped over into the bride on the day of Pentecost, he's headed toward what he started out as being. He started out as being a supernatural being. Now he's come to live in you and I to redeem these bodies that we live in. All right? Redeeming the body, making it to where that it can be used. And see, then he can't be complete without us, but we're naturally, we know that. We're not in no way complete without him. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not you and me.
That's right.
Me. All right? See, because then that way, if we can study the word and see what he is today, then what he was is wonderful. That's all right. I like that. That's what I was trying to explain about the Bible, that I can read the Bible now and I can just read it and, They was building buildings back there. They was doing all kind of things and, all kind of things was in manifestation. You can sit there and think about those things. All right? But then you see the spiritual part of it when it comes forth in. You see that he's building that in you. Because he didn't want to dwell in buildings. That was never God's plan to have any kind of a fancy looking building or anything. He didn't want that.
Right.
He brought that into being and used it because he used the tent, the tabernacles, the thing. He done those things. Yeah, that's all right. But that was not his plan. His plan was to come down, become mankind, right? Redeem the man, make the man what he is, and then one day change the whole thing. Because what did he do? He came down. He was God in soul. He was God in spirit. His body was a human body. So that's where we're at. That's what I was trying to get the emphasis to you for you to think about. There stood Adam. That's wonderful to me. There stood Adam and Eve in the garden. A body that would finally do wrong and things, but a soul and spirit to where that soul that was in them could be eternal. And God looked at that and said, that's what they are. That's what I want to do. Well, remember how I was expressing it a few weeks ago. See, Adam came before the Lord Jesus did. Right? Adam came, body, spirit, and soul. And he came to the point of eternal life in his soul. So thereby he could not be destroyed. He was what God wanted for the time. He was going to use that to bring forth the rest of his plan. He was planning on coming to earth just like that man was. And he did. He came in body and spirit, birthed into a, or birth brought forth, you know, whatever you want to call it, begotten, a body to live in. All right? And he lived in that all the years with mankind and everything. Then one day he realized, well, I've got to give this body up now. It's going to be bad. He enjoyed, I think the Lord Jesus enjoyed being a human. Now maybe you don't, but I enjoy life. I do. I enjoy life. I never have fussed at driving to Doraville. That start with, we were driving like 75 miles and took you 2 hours and a half to get there. And that was every day. And that to come back home, because we had to go down through Doraville and all across country. There were no expressways. But I never griped and complained about working. I'd get off every good time I could, sure. And they was nice enough a lot of times to let me off and to do, you know, because they knew that I would be there to work the rest of the time. And out of 27 and a half years, I was 5 minutes late one time. So that ought to figure that I probably wanted to go to work, you know. All right. But you see, the thing that I didn't like was having to put up with mankind. That was the part I didn't like. As far as the work, I never bothered me about working and all, but it bothered me about the people around me, you know. And it was hard to get along with them sometimes. And sometimes it was fun, you know, to do. But now listen. So then if we come to the position now, we've come through what he was to what he is, you know, or what he turned into being and what he is. Is, and in what he is now. All right, we find he's here now in bodily form, which is the bride. Right? So without the bodily form, look where you'd be. Now, are you getting why the prophet would say it? He said, God is not complete without you. Well, that hit that old cranium cap up there of me, and it just bounced around, and just, you know, I just couldn't see it. And one day it dawned on me just what I'm talking about now. If he didn't have a body to live in, he'd have to come back some way and do something. So he came in bride form. And that's where he's at now. And he's having a good time. And I'm having a good time out of it. You know. I mean, the basics of what I'll be going through this afternoon, if I get there. I preached this in Athens, Georgia in 1969. That the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a people. In 1969. So I've enjoyed it. I can look back and think about that and remember those days and the things that I did try to preach. Well, you're just trying to be sarcastic. Well, it happened. What's your problem? I mean, you want to be sarcastic? Go ahead. Call me that. I don't care. I've had a good time. This coming into the message. It was not a bad thing for me. You know, a lot of people say, oh man, I had trouble when I come in the message because I was doing this and I was doing that, you know, and I had to quit this and I had to quit that. And well, I smoked a little bit when I was a kid. Most of the time it was rabbit tobacco. A lot of you wouldn't know anything about those things, but you know, very little smoking, no drinking. Prior, yeah, human being, yeah, okay, same. But I enjoyed living then, a life as a human element. Not knowing that he would eventually come to me to try to get me to come back to where I should be in him. Go out and do wrong, come home and sit there and think, well, what in the world did I do that for? That wasn't right. And I wasn't even a Christian. I joined the Baptist church when I was 18 years old. My wife and I were married, and she was going to church, and I'd been in church all of my life, you know, up and down. So I said, well, I'll just go on with her. So we went to, you know, the church. I was 18 years old. But I've enjoyed my life. What I'm trying to get you to see is I believe God has enjoyed the point of a people living upon this earth that could live without having to be a garbage can. Some people tell you about the things the message took away. I didn't have them. I didn't drink. I didn't do those things. I thought you ought to be a Christian. We didn't have to get up on Sunday morning. Are we going to church today? There was never a thought. There was never a thought. Never been a thought. When we go on vacation, we go to church. We make some arrangement some way to be in a church. Well, I was doing that in the Baptist church. I didn't have to quit doing this and quit doing that to come in this message. My point. I don't believe God was happy with us when we do wrong. But when we try to do right, I think he thinks that's my child. I could spend a while on adoption and the statue of a perfect man and a few things like that to try to understand that point, right? But I think you ought to understand. All right. See, I think he has enjoyed the fact of living because the Bible said, it said about him, said, you know, that he pleased God. Well, I think he's pleased to dwell in you. Or he wouldn't be there. It ain't a forceful thing that he's got to do it, you know. I think he enjoys living in his people. I think like Brother Branham would say about Adam and Eve. He said God would come down in the day and, you know, at the end of the day and say, my children, said, have you had a good time today? Yeah, we've had some good. He said, okay, come, we'll just lay down here and take a light, little night, you know, a nice nap and wake up in the morning ready to go. He was happy. Don't you think he's more happier with you than he was with Adam and Eve? Because Adam and Eve, sure, they had eternal life in their soul, but the point it was, they were not born again Christians. They were not per se, or have I used that word fancy when saying, they were not the children of God as a born again Christian. That had never come into existence. But see, when it came into existence 2,000 years ago, then how much more happier is he today than he was when he started? The worst that we could do, he takes and makes it the greatest. And comes down and dwells with his people. Satisfied to dwell. Well, I don't know whether he wants one. I think you ought to sometimes lay down in the quietness of the night, or sometimes just start praying and just start walking or something. Just that's why I love to hunt. I've hunted a lot of days, and my gun would be like the drums. I didn't have it sitting next to me. I was just having me a good time. Took my little thing that Brother Richard and Joe and him made for me, and all the tapes was on it, and I just put that in my pocket. I could sit back on that deer stand, just click that thing on, and just rotate through three tapes while I was, because I was going to be sitting there for 4 hours. You know, having a good time. Looking around and see the squirrels. And see them just playing and everything. I was in some big old timber one time, you know, what we call virgin timber, great big tall trees, and I was watching this squirrel, and he come running down through there and jumped up on the tree next to me, and he goes up that tree, and that thing, man, I was in there just going, and it was 50 foot high if it was an inch, and that squirrel went up the side of that tree all the way to the top. And I sat there looking like that. I lied. I said, well, you made it up. Now you're going to have to come back down. He went out on a limb and he just sprung off that limb. Right out in midair, and he comes sailing and landed on a tree right next to me. And it was just like he had done that many times before, maybe. Cause he just hit that tree and it just bounced like it. And he just went on off. I sat there and cried. I said, God, I wish I could trust you like that. See? I think God wants to dwell with his people in the best, well, let me put it this way. I think he would will dwell with us and be with us in the worst that we are. We won't even deal with the best we can be, cause that don't, being best don't make you nothing with God. I found that out a long time ago. It's not what we do like that works. It's our repentant heart that he looks at and things that more of anything else. All right. Now, thinking about it, so let me get on. See? God wanted to live with a man, and the bride now is his body. Her soul is redeemed, page 49, Future Home, waiting the redemption of the body. All right? Waiting to a time that he can change these bodies and take us into glory. Okay. So he's not going to change and get a new body. I loved that when I heard the prophet when he first explained it. Because see, we used to think we was going to get a new one. I mean, that was after the message. I still hear that in the people of this message. Some, you know, especially years ago when we used to go to a lot of the meetings, you could still hear preachers and you'd say, hey, that guy believes in getting him a new body. And they just literally come out and say it. I'm going to get me a new body. Well, I remembered when them old Baptist preachers said, I'm going to get me a new body. It don't matter about me smoking. I'm going to throw this in the way. Well, I think, well, is that the way they think? You know, is that the way people are thinking now? Yeah. But listen. See, then if we can realize who we are. Is that the way the prophet said it? When the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for. Amen. Said she'll be an invincible army. Amen. All right. Now, in doing that, let's just think about. Let's start the message now. Okay, I got this wrote down. Today's Valentine's Day. To all of you ladies, you know, happy Valentine's Day. I kind of thought about it. I thought, well, you know, that's really something for me to be preaching about the bride of Jesus Christ on the Valentine's Day, because that was his desire. His points was to live with a wife. All right. Now, how you seen what we were talking about in the message this morning? So let's get started and we'll start reading. Okay. We were talking about this morning how that Jesus was the body that God come and dwelt in. All right. We saw that God didn't want to live in buildings made by hand. He wanted to live in the body, and that was in the body of Jesus Christ, because he would be the perfect son. All right? Because God has always had a body to live in. Whether you want to go back before the world or you want to go anywhere, he's always had a body. And he's got a body now, and that body now is the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, we get down to the day that we're living. Now, I want to read in reverse on one. So, Brother Anderson, pull up number 20. That'll be the last quote. I didn't give them a thing. They didn't have to run anything this morning. They just sat there resting. Let's go to number 20, which is God's only provided place of worship. They don't, okay. And listen to what he's saying. The Lutherans under justification of feet raised it like that. Wesley under sanctification, Pentecost under the arms. The works and the deeds and so forth had to be a Calvinist or had to be a Arminian, had to be legalist, but now we come to the head, the capstone, grace, grace, the capstone cried. The headstone crying, what? Grace, grace. Look, pass from death and creed into a living word of the living God. Now, that's what God sees of us. He sees it of somebody, because that's what the prophet said, pass from death. And no. God's only provided plan for his age. His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit, sparked it and lit off something to make it alive, and sent and seated now in heavenly places. Now watch him. You being a part of God's gene, a part of the word, other men a part of God's word, seated together, manifest the entire body of Christ, because there's no leaven among you. Huh? Now somebody's coming to that, so we can do what we want to. See what he's talking about, Brother Brown? No leaven among you. Just the word only, seated in heavenly places, in the door, watch now, where he put his name, Christ Jesus. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Okay, so now we'll get you off the hook. If we don't think we can ever come to that place, we don't have to worry about it. We ain't going to be there. We're going to go by the grave. I'm talking to Christians today. I ain't talking to sinners. I ain't talking to people that are not saved. I'm talking to people, looking to people that are Christians. That's why the Lord showed me about 40 years ago, and I've told you about it, that he showed me the biggest portion of people of this message were going to die and go by the grave, because they would not be able to reach the point to where that they could take the change. They would not settle down into the word and take the word for what it's saying and doing. I can't help it if something told me that. I've told you that probably 50, 75, or 100 times over the 40 years. So you ought to believe it. Something happened. Well, I ain't telling what, I'm just saying what it is. Because look, no leaven among you. What's leaven? Sin. No sin among you. Yeah, but Brother Dale, we'll never be. Then you're going by the grave. If you say you can't come to a place that you can't live a life without having sin, then you're contrary to the word of God. Mm-hmm. So listen. No leaven among you, that brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Watch him. Now he explains it. So listen to what he's saying. He's going to tell you how it's done, because he's going to tell you why it can't be done or couldn't be done until this age. Look at it. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Couldn't do it in Luther's age. Luther couldn't say he didn't have any leaven. Come on. Couldn't do it in Luther's age. Couldn't do it in Wesley's age. Watch him. This is the one that's hard shaking. Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. You mean, Brother Dale, that those people are not? No, he's not saying those people ain't going. He's saying they couldn't come to a change. A change of the body couldn't come down through those ages. No word. Oh yeah, a little here and a little there, little things happening, right? God living among them. But look, couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested. Okay, what's got to happen? The Son of Man's got to be manifested. Is that the reading? Am I in English? Reading in what it says? Am I taking what I tried to explain this morning of the Bible that you can read there, and this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened? And you say, well, that was in the natural. Then you flop over and you can see at the same time that all those things was in the natural. Here come God right down through in Genesis two and one, you know, making man, and two and coming forth, and then three, where is it? That the seed of the woman. All right. Yep. Now look. So it couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age, couldn't do it in Wesley's age, couldn't do it in Luther's age. Why? There was no promise in those ages that the Son of Man would come to the earth again. Huh? In the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet. God, oh, glory. Promised by Malachi 4. Promised by the rest of the scriptures. What? Where are you worshiping at? The house of God. Now listen. Now let me say something to where I try to explain things, and maybe I shouldn't. Brother Whitby, I remember that. He said, you'll find out one of these days you can't do what you do. I said, what? He said, you're trying to explain it. And he said, you can't explain it. I said, well, might not be able to explain it, but I sure don't want to leave it in a dumb situation that can't be understood. Is that plain enough to you? I know I can't explain this message, but I've tried my best to at least get us out of the dumb situation that most people exist in. If you want your feelings hurt, go ahead. I'm not trying to win nothing out of the way. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. What is the prophet saying? He said he could not. Luther's age had sin. Go to your church ages. We're on that and listening to some of it now. Go to those church ages and look. And get the names and the things like, which one is it? I know I remember one of them. Which one was it? Where? Columba. Yeah. Temperance. Fourth church age. You come into those situations until it was pitiful. You had a few people trying to survive. Rest was running after the Catholic Church. He couldn't do it in Luther's age. He couldn't do it in Wesley's age. He said, well, the Pentecostals had to. He said you couldn't do it in the Pentecost. The Pentecostal age couldn't come to the change of the body. And if you can't come to the change of the body, what is the need of talking about a body? Well, see, I'm putting it the best that I can to where I try to prove it. There's no age back there had the Son of Man. Now, he's the one that put it. Is it not the truth of knowing the Son of Man? Now, we're talking about, for a minute, we'll talk on the level of natural things we read in the book. Natural things we read in the book. Do you realize that there's no way in the world we could make it without this prophet's message? The prophet and the message. Amen. Now that's as simple as I can make it. Amen. To make you know that I'm not dependent upon Samuel Dale, Wade Dale, or anybody else to try to bring something to get us changed. We've already got the message. And when I read about the Son of Man, I don't read out Brother Branham. I read it in there what that Son of Man was supposed to be and do. Because without him bringing the message, where would we be? See, it couldn't be done in Luther's age. There wasn't enough word. Couldn't be done in Wesley's age. Couldn't be done in the Pentecostal age. You say, well, Brother Ron, no, he didn't come in the Pentecostal age. He's not the messenger to the Pentecostals. He's the Malachi 4 to Luke 17:30 to Revelation 10:7. You get them all together, you'll come out of Laodicea into the bride age. Which is not an additional age. All right. So now think about it. It has to be in this age that the Son of Man would have to come back in this age or time, wherever you want to put it, because I've said it there, it ain't no age, then I say there is, because you can't be. We're in an age. We're in time until Laodicea finishes, and Laodicea finishes when you enter the millennium. And the millennium is still time because it's 1,000 years. So then get all that off your mind and try to, you say, I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about. Don't just take what I say. And just think about it. Now watch. Then the bride of Jesus Christ would be the body. And it would come up through the ages. Luther was a part of the body of Christ. Wesley was a part of, Pentecostals was a part of the body of Christ. We're not taking those people out and throwing them away. They were a part of the bride. But they was not a manifestation of the Son of Man. That would have to wait until the prophet came on the scene. And he plainly told us, I am not the Son of Man. Is that the way he said it? He said, he's the Son of Man. See, he was the one to introduce, like John was not the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was the one to stand on the scene to make known the Lord Jesus or reveal him. All right? Now the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. See, if we can come over into this with us and see, realize that we can move up a step or two from a point that we've established, the point is what? Luther, Wesley, Pentecost couldn't do it. So there had to be something take place. So that was the coming of the Malachi 4. The Son of Man. All right. We got that settled to where we can talk about it. Okay. And in doing that, then we can see that there is a possibility. I like to say it that way. There's a possibility of coming to a change of the body. Why? Because we have the message of Malachi 4. As Wade was quoting, what the rapture lays in these tastes and books. It's in this message. We ain't looking somewhere else. I ain't looking for brother so-and-so to jump up and, boy, get this to going, you know. I see people do that, and I think, well, I'll see you on the way back. You know how you keep up with the Joneses? You ever heard that one? You know, you just keep up with the Joneses. You know how to keep up with the Joneses? Stand still. Why? Because they're going to be back. Oh, they're going to run out there. They're coming back. Just stand still. Wait on them. Keep up with the Joneses. So what about just doing that with a message and just stay with the message and do it? All right. Let's read a couple of scriptures and get our thought from there and go on. Go ahead, brothers, now to number one, which is Colossians 1:17. Let's just hit these things, and I'll try not to be too long. I'll cut it. If I have to, I'll put it in later. Always got to preach. All right, you got it? Colossians. Now, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Right? Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Watch me. The Son of Man. I hope we get time before dawn. I'll put in another message. You realize the only way he can be a father is to be the Son of Man? Amen. That's what Brother Randall said. What do you mean? Well, it's the father he wanted to be. Okay, you think on that for a while. Watch it. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him all fullness dwells. All right. Let's just read a little bit more. Go ahead to the next one, which is Colossians 2:9-10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that odd? You never thought about that. You don't never just sit down and think, well, why did it say bodily? Because it's going to be in the body. Amen. Right? He said bodily because it's going to be in the body. Is that sensible? Right. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now watch it. And ye are complete in him. So if he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, where are you at? By being in the bride of Jesus Christ as the body. Listen. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. All right. Can I translate this with what the prophet says? It's in here somewhere. It says he's not complete without you. You know, he chose it that way. Brother Ray, we didn't have anything to do with that, did we? You say, oh, I prayed, I cried. Yeah. The Bible says no man sought God. Yeah. Now, the Bible is not saying, and neither is the prophet not saying that you didn't cry and search and fast and do. It's just saying simply you couldn't do it. Right? It has to be what he does. The Bible says the goodness of God is what leadeth to repentance. Okay. Now, go ahead to the next one. I like this one. Old Paul, he was out having him a good time one day, going around and look, and he runs up on this great big place and sees all this going on, and Paul's smart. Paul said, I'll take this and I'll trap them in their own words. And that's what he done. Yep. Well, listen. Acts 17:28-30. For in him we move, we live, and move, and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. He tricked them right into the point. Said that you guys have been talking about this unknown God. And I want to talk to you about him. And said you went through every bit of this. And said you even admit that you think you are a child of this God. You just don't know who he is. But so let me talk to you. Or as much then as we are the offspring. Now look what he says. He trapped them. He nailed their hide to where they couldn't answer back. Also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Somebody sitting there says, I don't know about. He says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God. You admitting it. That God has got children. Right? For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. Why would you ever want to try to put up an image to an unknown God or a known God? Try to make an image to it. See? You can't. He says, we don't do that. We don't want to put the Godhead in any position of thinking about it that it's pretty gold. Look at it. Look at that statue we've got. Look at that image we've made. I get kind of tickled thinking about Moses when he went up on the mountain and he come back down. And they was trying to tell him that they just took this gold and they just got it real hot and throwed it up in the air and it just fell back down and there's a calf. Well, I wouldn't want to follow them guys. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What about it? What would a Godhead be likened unto if it's not likened unto gold and silver? In other words, if you were going to make an image to your God, what would you do? You were going to make an image to your God. In other words, thinking what he looked like. What would you do? Well, I'd make him, he'd be a 30-year-old man, and he'd have wavy hair, and he'd no. But you know what I like? You might not like the way I approach things. That's okay. But you know what I like? I like the fact of what our prophet has done. He said, I've seen him two or three times. Now, that's a direct quote, if you know. I've seen him two or three times. And he said, the best that I could see of him is Hoffman's head of Christ at 33. Well, you know what? I ain't trying to make no image or do nothing, but I do think one thing. We got pictures downstairs that of people that have passed away here. And they're like 18, 20 years of age. Because I want to see what they look like when they come forth in the resurrection. Well, now you try to describe me as to seeing Jesus and, you know, and you try to make it as to be the prophet, the best he could do would make it Hoffman's. But now he didn't say that that's the way it totally looked. But he said it was the best of his understanding of sight of what he said. I've seen him two or three times, maybe three times. I forgot which way the statement is. Okay? Well, see, we don't want to make no images out of him. I was told when I first came in the message that what we need to do is we need to get before the preacher of Brother Branham and draw and get before that and pray. Was you ever told that? Well, I had just come away from the fact of the people back there thinking about Jesus. And I didn't want to try to get down before. I never have been one that wanted to get before a picture. If I got to have a picture to remind me who God is and what's going on, I'm in bad shape. But yet we do know and think that we can see. I agree with the point that we can say that that's probably what he'll look like. Because I believe when we get there that you're not going to see a Father over here and a Son over here and a Holy Ghost over here. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. Said, we'll have a body like unto his glorious body. Well, he ain't going to be all twisted up. But there's one thing he'll have. He'll have nail prints in his hand. Because that's still in the Word. Think on these things. I don't know what you're getting to. All right, let's start reading a little bit. Go ahead to number four. Let's pick up a few of these and just read some. He's talking about this coming down to an age that had got in such a mess. All right. 46, yeah. But you notice here, he said at the end of the ending of the church age, it had got in such a mess till he would be revealed again as Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, how appropriate was that mix up yesterday, and I hope you don't miss it. Okay. What? Come on up where we can see. God manifested himself there at Sodom as a prophet, being a man in the flesh, God, Elohim, as I heard someone speak of it a while ago, which the Godhead bodily was in him. He was the fullness. Elohim is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, if he's the fullness, if we can take like we did this morning, we took, if you listen, we took where it said, a body thou hast prepared me. We applied that to the Lord Jesus Christ and the bringing forth of the body of Jesus Christ upon the earth. And then we switched it over to the bride of Jesus Christ. That the bride of Jesus Christ had become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth and the only body that God has on earth at this time and the only body that will be on this earth until we come to the change. Because we meet him in the air. All right. Now we come to talking about this one that we talk about, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of Man. Now from here on for a while, you're going to hear statements made that you're going to look at and wonder if Brother Branham had something to do with some of these things. And I agree he did. God used the man to bring the message. The gifts and the things were there, worked and done like that. And I'm honest to say, it would be hard to have sat there with him without looking at him in the wrong way. I agree. Because, I mean, like you say, who was it, the Brother Wood, you know, if a man can tell you what to fish, you're going to catch four fish, catching them, you know. Well, that's, you know, you just think about it. If you stay there with him day in and day out, and he just tell you every little thing, that'd get worried, get pretty nervous. But you've got to remember to keep separated the man from the gift that was within him. And I ain't going to get it today, but we will later, to try to see how that the Bible, in the writing of the Bible, Brother Branham says, I know it's three times, that the Lord Jesus looked like had a dual personality. He said one time he would talk and one time the Father would talk. Now there's one in here where Brother Branham done a marvelous job because he took us. And he says now, he's explaining, you know, that how that one time Jesus speak, one time the Father speak. And he said, like you are, he said, you go to work. And he said, that's what gets me of the message, the man, the way he could explain it. He said, you go to work. And said, you're one personality, you know, one thing dealing, because you're working. He said, then you come back to church or come home. And see, then you're dealing in another part. How wonderful that can be explained to us. That God so much has made himself manifest among us until we can see him. Let's read a couple then we'll quit, okay? Go ahead to number 5. Because I'll hold a point and try to, of the fact that being him, the Lord Jesus being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then we'll break off and I'll do it on another message. Talking about you and me. And in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All powers in heavens and earth is given unto my hands. Read that for yourself. All powers in heavens and earth is given unto my hands. He said, all the power. Then God is powerless if he's another person. A man could talk. Ain't none of us can do nothing like that. Don't worry about it. We ain't going to. You can't talk that language. That's exactly what I was saying this morning where you look over here in Genesis 1 and you see what was written. The things that literally took place. And then you go to Genesis 2 and you see a spiritual application or something. Think about what he's saying. All powers in heavens and earth is given unto my hands. He said, all the power. Then God is powerless if he's another person. For the Bible said, Jesus said, after his resurrection, that all the power in heaven and earth both was given into my hands. Think about it. Think about how simple. Go ahead to the next one, number 6. In him, remember, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him never dwelt just a part of God, but all of God was in his Son, Christ Jesus. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God was poured out in Christ. All that God was in Christ. All that Christ is, he poured out on the church, but you keep refusing it. Why did he say that? Brother Branham, what are you getting at? You say you were refusing it. Are we refusing to accept the things that he has said we are? If he says we are the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and without us, he's not complete, so then he can't be the fullness of the Godhead bodily without you. Is he saying that we're turning it down? That's the only thing I can read. Did we keep refusing it? Refusing what? Refusing to believe what we are and what we're doing. And what he's done and what he's doing. Oh, Brother Dale, I believe it. Well, like I said a while ago, we didn't lay out a church. We don't lay out a church now. Church is first, number one, then we go on our vacations and our doings. It's always been that way. The kids didn't get up and say, well, we don't want to go to church today. Nobody's ever said anything about it. We was just there. Could that be the way he's saying we're refusing it? Okay. Go ahead to number 7. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in the Catholic Church. Brother Dale, that ain't what it said. The complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminence. Yes. All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. Right. Now, how many times, I didn't run it up to see, but I wonder how many times did Brother Branham explain that one little point? All God was, he poured into Christ, all Christ into the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden or whatever. Many different wordings on the end. How many times did he say that? Almost every message. Right? But yet, do we believe that we could be that? Let's reread that again. I want to read it. Number 7. Is that number 7? Okay. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminence. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. What about it? Could it be that we're turning down what God has said about us? He tried to hammer up something, line up and get belts out and whoop each other to try to get places, you know, lined up and get us to straighten out in the Word. I ain't never done that yet. But are we accepting what God says about us? I just don't see how that could ever, what's that got to do with it? Who are you? What do you mean? I'm me. Well, why would you think like that? That you're not God? Oh, you hurt my feelings. Well, I'm sorry. I guess I'll keep on hurting feelings because that's the way I've always felt. I feel that we, in 1969, that I preached that the bride of Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Son of Man. I wish I could have had the tape to keep it, but that don't make no difference. Well, you wouldn't believe it if you sit and listen to it, if you're not going to believe it now. But you see, I just happen to believe it. I believe God has a way. Now upon earth, in a group of people. We'll continue to read more of this, but just hold on. If Wade gave them out, I made about 20 extra, 20-something extra copies. And if you want to read about what the prophet says, take them home and read them. Where he says, the bride is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Couldn't do it in the days of Luther. Couldn't do it in the days of Wesley. Right? Couldn't do it in Pentecost. But it can be done today. Why? Because the Son of Man is here. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is here in the form of his bride, believing the word. But I look around and I just don't see it nowhere. Well, maybe you ought to quit, let your nose down just a little bit and get it on level ground. Instead of way up in the air to think that you're something. Bring it down to think about all of us. If there's anything in this building, spiritually speaking, that's worth anything, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not me and you. It is not Brother Branham. He brought the message, but he done his work and went on. He'll have a great reward when we get there with him, because we'll all be there with him. Wonderful. But yet somebody has got to accept the word and believe it. That's why I mention it again. People was laughing back there when the lady run for the president's job or vice president, what she done, Clinton. And everybody couldn't think about nothing else, Brother Run said, and they just start laughing about, well, she couldn't, that couldn't be her because she ain't pretty. I never done that. Because I know Brother Branham wasn't talking about that kind of beauty. Ugliness or beauty. He was talking about the controls and the doings of what they could do. But now since it's come to the basis that the woman's in the White House, do you hear the ministers of this message saying, look at there, we're in the end. We're in the end. Because we're seeing the natural things that the prophet spoke of. And seeing them made manifest. He said, in the last few hours of the time back there with the Lord Jesus, right before the crucifixion, he said the biggest portion of the scripture was fulfilled. Could it be that way? What are you looking for? Your prophet said that we'd be at the mercy of the elements. But the bride don't go through the tribulation. So there must be a pre-tribulation going to strike. And I believe we're in it. And right now, all they got to do is call it in and you don't have no money. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Ain't going to get mine. Don't start that foolishness. You're the first one to come after. They say, we're going to do the best we can do. Why? Because we're not going to be in the tribulation. No. No. There's no such thing as putting a bride in the tribulation. But there's a pre-tribulation to strike. That ought to divide that point that the prophet said that the bride don't go through the tribulation. Then he comes over here and says, but we'll be at the mercy of the elements. He evidently saw some things that was going to get pretty bad. If they can tell you, you can't do this and you can't do that, take your kids out of school, close down companies, this building, everything. If they can do that, don't think they can't demand a lot of other things. But would that have to be the tribulation? That's what I asked the people years ago. I said, what if California goes under and we're still here? Well, that'd mean we wasn't bride. We missed it. I said, boy, that's how much you understand. I said, get in your Bible and you'll find out there's two earthquakes. There's an earthquake at the resurrection of the saints. But then there's an earthquake under the sixth seal. Right? See, it's not sitting down and simply taking it easy and studying the message. And just see what the prophet has to say about these things. We get it all figured out. Well, we can't do this, can't do that. No. Just say it real simple, we'll do the best we can do. We'll make it. The real point is of whether or not we are the bride of Jesus Christ. You mean if I miss it, that does that mean that there is no God? No, not quite. Come on, musicians. Just think on these things. Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Brother Branham over and over and over said, all God was, which would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily, was poured into Christ, which would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which was poured into the church, which would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How much more do we need to think on these things? Remember, it's not what we think about ourselves that mounts, it's what He is. Let's stand. Think on these things. Brother Dale, you talk about like sometime that we can be in this and we can be in that. I'm just telling you what the prophet said. When it takes place, it's up to God. But I don't want to be left here. I want to be ready to go. Yeah. I don't want no trouble at the river, the old man said. What we got, brother? Let's see.
This old world hold me any moment, I'll be gone, for I made my consecration and I have the wedding garment on.
Amen.
Oh, this old world can never hold me.
Think about Him. Look what He's
any
done for
moment,
us.
I'll be gone.
For He's I've told made us what would take
my
place.
Consecration, and I have the wedding garment on.
See, maybe you never went through a lot this like me. When Brother Reynolds started talking, he said, you better leave them Baptists alone. He said, they'll tie you up. I remember in the Baptist church when they was preaching about the six seal tribulation and reading it out of the scripture and calling that the six seal tribulation would be the tribulation coming. Of course, they had 7 years of it, but that's still. They were studying things. What about us?
And I have the wedding garment on.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Oh, this old world.
Think on these things.
Can never hold me anymore.
We're going to be the happiest people in the world.
And I'll be gone. For I've
to think about what God has done for us.
And I have the wedding.
He's making us ready against the day that we're living.
This old world can never hold me anymore.
We're taking us away from fear and
I'll be gone.
Doubts and
for I've made
setting us in the Word.
My consecration.
And saying this is where it's going to be.
And I have the wedding garment on.
You love Him?
Can never hold me.
Just pray about it. Pray about what the day that we're living. The Lord make me ready.
My consecration.
Just make me ready against the day.
And I have the wedding garment on. This old world can never hold me anymore.
You love Him.
I'll be gone, for I've made my consecration, and I have the wedding garment.
Remember, pray one for another that the Lord would be with us all. Remember, Wade will be ministering, Lord willing, Wednesday. Remember, next weekend we'll be taking the communion, starting that, trying to get back on the line with some of those things and all that we can be in, talking about getting the Sunday school set to where we can have our Sunday schools and things and do things and, you know, get back to operating as a full church, because we want to operate that way. God will take care of us. I've never been afraid of anything that he told me to do. Many of you have been here when I would come out here and tell you. Just say, well, okay, now this is what it's going to be. But when I tell you that, there ain't no need you trying to talk me out of it. Because it won't work. Because I done talked to him. And he's done told me what to do. And see, then that way, then we work on that basis and we just hold it to that. I say, okay, all is well. Father, we thank you for this day and for what we've had of the message of the hour, Lord, and the things that we've tried our best to express to the people of your love and understanding that you've given unto each one of us. Forgive our sins. Let us all walk in the light of your grace, Lord, and be led by thine understanding hands. Guide each and every one. Take care of the people on the way home. Give us all in your love and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over.